Only one thing was keeping it all together, and that was the third thing I learned. That this General Gaw was, in his way, a remarkable person. He wasn't like one of those tinpot dictators who got lucky, seized a country, and gave themselves the title of Grand High Poobah or whatever. He had been an actual general for a people called the Vren, and had won some important battles for them when he decided that it was wasteful to fight over resources that more than one race could easily and productively share. When he started campaigning with this idea, he was thrown into jail. No one likes a troublemaker. The ruler who tossed him in jail eventually died. Gaw had nothing to do with it, it was natural causes, and Gaw was offered the job, but he turned it down and instead tried to get other races to sign on to the idea of the conclave. He had the disadvantage that he didn't get the Vren to go along with the idea at first. All he had to his name was an idea and a small battle cruiser called the Gentle Star, which he had gotten the Vren to give him after they decommissioned it. From what I could read, it seemed like the Vren thought they were buying him off with it, as in, here, take this, thanks for your service, go away, no need to send a postcard, bye. But he didn't go away, and despite the fact that his idea was insane and impractical and nuts and could never possibly work because every race in our universe hated every other race too much, it worked. Because this General Gaw made it work. By using his own skills and personality to get people of all different races to work together. The more I read about him, the more it seemed like the guy was really admirable. And yet he was also the person who had ordered the killing of civilian colonists. Yes, he'd offered to move them, and even offered to give them space in the conclave. But when it came right down to it, if they wouldn't move and they wouldn't join, he wiped them out. Just like he would wipe us all out, if despite everything Dad told Hickory and Dickory, we didn't surrender the colony. Or if, should the attack the Colonial Union had planned on the Conclave fleet go wrong, the General decided that the CU needed to be taught a lesson for daring to defy the Conclave, and wiped us out just on general principles. I wasn't so sure just how admirable General Gaw would be if at the end of the day he wouldn't stop from killing me and every single person I cared about. It was a puzzle. He was a puzzle. I spent those 2 weeks trying to sort it out. Gretchen got grumpy with me that I'd been locked away without telling her what I was up to. Hickory and Dickory had to remind me to get out and work on my training. Even Jane wondered if I might not need to get outside more. The only person not to give me much grief was Enzo. Since we got back together, he was actually very accommodating about my schedule. I appreciated that. I made sure he knew. He seemed to appreciate that. And then, just like that, we all ran out of time. The Gentle Star, General Gaw's ship, appeared above our colony one afternoon, disabled our communications satellite so Gaw could have some time to chat, and then sent a message to Roanoke, asking to meet with the colony leaders. John replied that he would meet with him. That evening, as the sun set, they met on the ridge outside the colony, about a click away. "Hand me the binoculars, please," I said to Hickory as we climbed out to the roof of the bungalow. It obliged me. "Thanks," I said. Dickory was below us, on the ground. Old habits die hard. Even with the binoculars, General Gaw and Dad were little more than dots. I looked anyway. I wasn't the only one. On other roofs, in Croatoan and in the homesteads, other people sat on roofs with binoculars and telescopes, looking at Dad and the General, or scanning the sky, looking in the dusk for the Gentle Star. As night finally fell, I spotted the ship myself. A tiny dot between two stars, shining unblinkingly where the other stars twinkled. "How long until the other ships arrive, do you think?" I asked Hickory. "The Gentle Star always arrived first, alone, and then at Gaw's command, the hundreds of other ships would appear, a not at all subtle bit of showmanship to get a reluctant colony leader to agree to get his or her people to leave their homes. I had watched it on previous colony removal videos. It would happen here, too." "Not long now," Hickory said. By now, Major Perry will have refused to surrender the colony. I took down my binoculars and glanced over to Hickory in the gloom. You don't seem concerned about this, I said. That's a different tune than you were singing before.
Things have changed, Hickory said.
I wish I had your confidence, I said.
Look, Hickory said, it has begun.
I glanced up. New stars had begun to appear in the sky, first one or two, then small groups, and then entire constellations. So many had begun to appear, it was impossible to track every single appearance. I knew there were 400. It seemed like thousands.
Dear God, I said,
and I was afraid, truly afraid.
Look at them all. Do not fear this attack, Zoe, Hickory said. We believe this plan will work.
You know the plan? I asked. I didn't take my eyes off the sky.
We learned of it this afternoon, Hickory said. Major Perry told us, as a courtesy to our government.
You didn't tell me, I said.
We thought you knew, Hickory said. You said you had spoken to Major Perry about it.
We talked about the Colonial Union attacking the Conclave fleet, I said, but we didn't talk about how.
My apologies, Zoe, Hickory said. I would have told you.
Tell me now, I said, and then something happened in the sky. The new stars started going nova. First one or two, then small groups, and then entire constellations. So many expanded and brightened that they had begun to blend into each other, forming an arm of a small and violent galaxy. It was beautiful, and it was the worst thing I had ever seen.
Antimatter bombs, Hickory said. The Colonial Union learned the identity of the ships in the Conclave fleet. It assigned members of your special forces to locate them and plant the bombs just before the jump here. Another special forces member here activated them.
Bombs on how many ships? I asked.
All of them, Hickory said. All but the Gentle Star.
I tried to turn to look at Hickory, but I couldn't move my eyes from the sky. That's impossible, I said.
No, Hickory said. Not impossible. Extraordinarily difficult, but not impossible.
From other roofs and from the streets of Croatoan, cheers and shouts lifted into the air. I finally turned away and wiped the tears off my face. Hickory noticed.
You cry for the Conclave fleet, it said.
Yes, I said, for the people on those ships.
Those ships were here to destroy the colony, Hickory said.
I know, I said.
You are sorry they were destroyed, Hickory said.
I'm sorry that we couldn't think of anything better, I said. I'm sorry that it had to be us or them.
The Colonial Union believes this will be a great victory, Hickory said. It believes that destroying the Conclave's fleet in one engagement will cause the Conclave to collapse, ending its threat. This is what it has told my government.
Oh, I said.
It is to be hoped they are correct, Hickory said.
I was finally able to look away and face Hickory. The after images of the explosions placed blotches all around it. Do you believe they are correct? I asked. Would your government believe it?
Zoe, Hickory said, you will recall that just before you left for Roanoke, my government invited you to visit our worlds.
I remember, I said.
We invited you because our people longed to see you and to see you among us, Hickory said. We also invited you because we believed that your government was going to use Roanoke as a ruse to open a battle against the Conclave. And while we did not know whether this ruse would be successful, we believed strongly that you would have been safer with us. There is no doubt that your life has been in danger here, Zoe, both in ways we had foreseen and in ways that we could not. We invited you, Zoe, because we feared for you. Do you understand what I am saying to you?
I do, I said.
You asked me if I believe the Colonial Union is correct, that this is a great victory, and if my government would believe the same, Hickory said. My response is to say that once again my government extends an invitation to you, Zoe, to come visit our worlds and to travel safe among them.
I nodded and looked back to the sky, where stars were still going nova. "And when would you want this trip to begin?" I asked.
"Now," Hickory said, "or as close to now as possible."